We are in part two of the 23rd Psalm. Last week, we talked about five words. The Lord is my shepherd. Today, we're going to speak on four words. I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Why? We're going to answer the question. How many of you remember playing a game when you were a kid called Follow the Leader? You remember that game? You know, what we would do is that we would choose a leader, and maybe the person at the head of the line, the person at the head of the line would have children that would try to follow behind and do everything that they would do. You know, the game was an interesting game because the players who tried to follow the leader oftentimes could not do what the leader was doing. The last person standing other than the leader would now be the new leader, and we would repeat the game over again. You know, I remember wanting to hang out with some older kids when I was young, and but the older guys, they didn't want me hanging out with them. So what they would do is they would say, okay, we're going to play Follow the Leader, and if you can keep up with us, you can hang out with us. Y'all know how the story goes, right? They begin to jump and to run and to climb, and they would do things that they knew was impossible for me to do. And oftentimes, I would be left alone, all by myself, mad because I couldn't keep up. Follow the leader. Yes. But I'm glad that God is not like that. First of all, what we learn in the 23rd Psalm is that the shepherd wants us to follow him and desires that we keep up and stay close. Yes. We know that he will never lead us and not provide for us. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And he will never lead us just so he can lose us. Why? Because we have a chief shepherd who is the good shepherd, and he truly cares for the sheep. When David writes, I shall not want, we beg the question, is he saying, as Philip Keller stated in his book, A Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm? You say, well, who is Philip Keller? Anybody ever heard of Philip Keller? He was a gentleman. He was from the British Islands. He was born in Kenya. And he was one who was an agriculturist. He loved the survey land, and he loved agriculture and being able to survey land and livestock. But one day he sold his business, went to the Middle East, and he bought some sheep. And he bought some sheep, and he writes a book called A Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm. And he writes about his own experience as a shepherd and what he learned about the sheep. As I said, when David writes, is he stating, as Philip Keller stated in his book, that we would never have needs that are unmet? Is he stating that our finances are not in the red, or illnesses that threaten us or threaten our health? Is he stating that we would not have any of those? No. Keller goes on to say that the state of I shall not want is, regardless of what our circumstances are, we can be content and trust in the care of the good shepherd. Now, he was a shepherd. He knew what shepherding was all about. And as I stated last week, as sheep that belong to Christ, who is who? Lord. We have an omnipotent and omniscient and omnipresent shepherd. And because of who he is, we can confidently follow Jesus and trust him to supply our every need and to reach our life goals. This morning, I just want to talk about those four words, I shall not want. Is there anything that you are in need of? Is there something that you've asked God for, but you haven't seen it today? John 10 and 27 reminds us of the shepherd-sheep relationship where it says, my sheep hear my voice. He says, and I know them, and they follow my voice. My sheep, he says, I know them, and he says, and they follow my voice. I want to do an illustration for you in my introduction, and I want to help you to understand the shepherd whom we follow. There are many voices out there in the world. Every one of them are trying to get your attention. They're trying to get your children. They're trying to get your money out your pocket. So many voices. They're trying to get you to do what they want instead of what God wants. They want you to vote for this, and God says, no, I want you to vote for me. I am your king. So many voices. How can we hear from God? He says, my sheep. You have to ask the question, which fold do you belong to? Is it the fold of Buddha? Is it the fold of Confucianism? Is it panentheism or pantheism that says God is all and all is God? And people listen to all those gods' voices. But Jesus, the good shepherd, the chief shepherd, he says, my sheep, the ones who are forgiven, the ones who are loved, the ones who have received mercy and grace, they hear my voice. I'm going to ask my wife if she can come up and help me this morning with this illustration. And let's see, I need two more people to help me. Anybody want to volunteer? Amen. Brother Newby, you come on up. He got his hand up on here. Amen. Brother Twitty, you look like a great brother. He just sitting there, he just smiling like, I hope he don't call me. Amen. God bless you. So this is what we're going to do. You're going to stand on this side right there. And I want you to stand over there right here. Okay. And what I'm going to do is I have a blindfold. And I'm going to cover her eyes. Okay. Ain't she pretty, y'all? I dressed her this morning. No, I'm just kidding.
That's why we relate.
I ain't gonna say nothing. She didn't hear my voice. That's all I'm saying. I'm yelling, come on! I want you to talk as loud as you can. Just talk, just randomly. Just keep saying words. Nice and loud. I want you to talk as loud as you can. I want you to just, anything, quote scripture, but just talk. That's all I want you to do. And here's the thing, Ms. Harris, I want you to try to pay attention to my voice. And the only thing I want you to do is follow the sound of my voice.
Okay.
All right. Samantha, I want you to pay attention to me and I want you to follow me. I just listen to the sound of my voice. Just listen to my voice. Come on, come on. Just listen to my voice. You can just take one step after the next. Just listen for my voice. Just listen for my voice.
Jesus is the
Yes. Yes. Come on. You're doing good. Take one step. Come on, take a bigger step. Take a bigger step. You don't be scared. Just step out. Step out. Trust me. Trust me. I'm not going to lead you the wrong way. I'm going to lead you the right way. Now step to your left. Take one step to your left. Take one step to your left. There you go. There you go. I want you to listen to my voice. I will listen to my voice. Y'all keep on talking. Okay. Okay. All right. All right. Did y'all see that? All right. Then I walk towards the voice. Walk towards the voice. Here we go. Keep walking. Come on. Come on. You're getting closer. You're getting closer. Yes. Yes. You're getting closer. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Come on, somebody. I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to talk with you. Amen. This should get there, y'all. Amen. Now, how hard was that?
It was tough at first. It was so much background, external noise. I had to really, literally just focus on your voice.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you, gentlemen. Amen. Thank you. And so Jesus, when he says, "My sheep hear my voice," he says, "I want you to trust me by faith. Even though you can't see me, you can still trust me. Even though you hear the voices of everybody else," he says, "I want you to trust my word," as we heard the scripture, "trust in the Lord with all of thine heart." She had to trust in the voice of the Lord. Where is the voice of the Lord today? The voice of the Lord is in the word of God. And what God does is he takes his word and he speaks to us, and then he takes his Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit bears witness to the word. The Holy Spirit leads and guides us. He walks with us and talks with us. And then in the midst of our circumstances, in the middle of our trials, the Holy Spirit is trying to get us to turn towards the word of God. And we're trying to lean and we're trying to trust. And sometimes we lean on our own understanding, but God said, "No, keep taking no step. Just trust me. Walk by faith. Step out." He says, "I'm with you. I'm with you." He says, "I'm your shepherd, and you shall not want." He says, "I want to make sure my sheep hear my voice and that they're able to fulfill their purpose and destiny in life." Yes? Is that all right? Is that all right? "I shall not want." Yes. Now I want us to look at the reason why, because the sheep need to be content. I want to look at the contentment of the sheep. There are many within the Christian culture that believe in what is called the prosperity doctrine. The prosperity doctrine advocates absolute wealth and absolute health for all Christians. This doctrine proposes that God wants all Christians to be wealthy in material gain as a demonstration of the riches of God's kingdom. And some would even go on to say that it would validate your salvation if you have X, Y, Z as far as money and wealth and health. It concludes that the believer who does not have material prosperity and divine healing lacks the faith to produce such an outcome. In essence, they have not named or claimed or experienced their genie in the bottle theology. David proposes the context of "I shall not want." He proposes that it's not related to necessarily our physical or material prosperity or poverty alone. God does want you to be blessed, amen? He does want you to have things, but not to the negating of what real faith is all about and what real contentment is all about. The prosperity doctrine says, "I will not be content until I have full health, full restoration. I will not be content until I get excess amount of money," and God may not be calling you to that. David says, I want you to get a better understanding. He says, I shall not want. It is greater, this word want is greater in scope and deeper in provision, for there are times that we all may experience hardship of material health. Even Jesus said, foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man does not have a place to lay down his head. Jesus was homeless. Oh, how's that mess up your theology? He had not a place to lay his head. When you don't have somewhere to lay your head down, we call that in the hood homeless. How dare we think of our Savior as being homeless? The one who created heaven, when he said, in my Father's house are many mansions, Jesus said, guess what? Even though I got many mansions, I left glory to come down here to be homeless, to give you heaven, to give you mansions. Yes. Job was a man that was righteous and he was rich. And yet God called him to surrender his health and his wealth. Oh, that's telling a different story. Job, he didn't do anything wrong. Job didn't sin. The Bible says that Job was right in all of his ways. But yet God called him to suffering. And we don't want to hear that. We just want the goody two-shoe thing. We just want everything to be all right. But sometimes God calls us to a higher level. And the higher level is suffering. The higher level may mean that you may not have no money in your pocket. May mean that you don't have a home over your head. But what David is talking about, if I don't have any of those things, I'm content with Jesus. That's what he's talking about. Yes. A lack of contentment in the shepherd leads to endless roaming in the sheep. Look at Luke chapter 15, verses 4 through 6. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country? And does he not go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was roaming. My sheep that was lost. As believers in Christ, we too are prone to roam. We are prone to wander and to want what we should not have. That's why the sheep roam. They want what they should not have. They are not content. Yesterday, my wife and I, we went down to Virginia Beach, and there was this little donut shop, or what we call it, they sell cakes. Little cake, little bakery. There you go, bakery. And one day we went there and we got a cinnamon roll. Oh, Lord, have mercy. That cinnamon roll was good. I got a cinnamon roll. Well, she was nice, that cinnamon roll, because she tastes good. I ate that thing, and I shared a little bit with my wife, just a little bit. And I kept on talking about going to get that cinnamon roll. But then my doctor said, I can't be eating all that sugar. And so we went down there yesterday, and we told each other, we are not going to stop by that place that has the cinnamon rolls. Are y'all picking up what I'm putting down? And so we were going to a restaurant. And so as we were getting ready to turn left into the restaurant, the bakery was to the right. All of a sudden, the car just turned. The steering with the car, it just turned by itself. And we were talking the whole time. We're not going now over there. She was like, I was saying, you good? She was like, yeah, I'm not going either. I was like, I'm not going either. And the car. Next thing we know, we were translated just like Enoch, and we're standing in the bakery. Putting our order in. But God is good because they were all out of cinnamon rolls. I say sometimes we wander and we want what we cannot have. I wanted that cinnamon roll. I wanted it. And my wife was trying to encourage me. But I provoked her. Listen, saint, that's how the devil is sometimes, isn't he? You know you shouldn't have that. You know that ain't your husband. Well, but the steering wheel, the flesh will turn you where you don't want to go. Are y'all picking up what I'm putting down? And that's how the Bible says all of us like sheep are. And so we can't fuss at nobody. We can't get mad at nobody because we all are in the same category if we are sheep of the Lord. Even being saved, sometimes we turning where we don't want to go. Are y'all with me? The contentment of the sheep. Oh, yes. That cinnamon roll got to me. We eventually did get to the restaurant, and we were obedient. We didn't get a whole lot of sugar or anything there. We got a good, healthy meal. We had to redeem ourselves. Hallelujah. Thank God for Jesus. Philip Keller, this shepherd, describes the context of contentment this way. The word want, as used here, has a broader meaning than might at first be imagined. No doubt the main concept is that of not lacking or not deficient or improper care of or management of or husbandry. But a second emphasis is the idea of being utterly contented in the good shepherd's care. And consequently, not craving or desiring anything more. Or let me put it this way in my word, well, in the Hebrew. The Hebrew word for want is hesed. It means to be devoid of or have too little. I shall not want means I shall not lack. I shall not be devoid of. I shall not have too little of. Why? Because I am content with what Jesus, the Good Shepherd, has provided. It means I shall not want or desire anything of the world or its wandering ways over Christ, who is the way. It means I am completely and utterly satisfied with Jesus. Ain't that all right? So when we say I shall not want, really what we're saying is I'm satisfied with Jesus. I may have some needs, but I don't want anything. Because I'm content with what I have, and I'm content with what I don't have. It means that I don't covet what somebody else has. I'm happy with what I got and what God has done for me. Yes. Philip Keller, he tells the story about a sheep in the 23rd Psalms. This sheep, he called her Mrs. Gadabout. Mrs. Gadabout was a sheep that was notorious for wandering. She would always think that there was greener grass on the other side. And she would escape and go along the fence line and look for openings through the fence to go on to the other side, only to be found to be eating brown grass instead of the green grass that Mr. Philip Keller had. And she was notorious for leaving the fold. And always going after the sheep was Mr. Keller, searching and looking. And it got so bad that when Mrs. Gadabout had a little ewe lamb, the ewe lamb started doing the same thing that Mrs. Gadabout started doing. And she started escaping and started following the behavior and the habits and the patterns of her mother. And he goes on to state that it got so bad with Mrs. Gadabout that all of the other sheep started doing the same thing. All the sheep in the fold begin to start to wonder and desire and to want things that they shouldn't have because they watch Mrs. Gadabout gadding about, not following the shepherd. You know what Mr. Keller tells us in the book, what he did? In order to spare the lives of all the sheep, in order to keep the sheep, he had to take the butcher knife to Mrs. Gadabout. He sacrificed Mrs. Gadabout because too many lives were at stake. He could have lost all of his sheep because of one wandering, wayward sheep who refused to stay in the fold. Are we like that at times? We stop coming to church, and then we start noticing another person stops coming to church, and another person stops, and everybody, next thing you know, everybody is like Miss Gadabout and blaming COVID for it. Y'all know I'm right about it. If we trusted the shepherd before COVID, how can we not trust him after COVID? God is still the same. Yes. Mrs. Gadabout. Roaming begins with the thought that there is always something better over there than what we already have. There's a better job. There's a better school. There's a better friend. And it goes on and on and on. Instead of really trusting that God knows best. Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. I'm reading from the NIV, and I like how the NIV puts it. Paul is writing, I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstance. Verse number 12, I know what it is. I like how he write that. He says, I know what it is. It sounds like he was born in the 60s and the 70s. What it is, bro? He said, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content. Did you know that there was a secret sauce to being content? Can I tell you what the secret sauce is? It's not that Big Mac sauce. I want to tell you what the secret is. He says, in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I can do all things through him, that is Christ, who gives me strength. That's the secret right there. The secret sauce, he says, I've learned through experience. I've tried him. I've tested him. I've called on him. And I've seen God be being faithful in my life. When I didn't have something, he was there for me. When I did have something, he didn't leave me. I learned that God is God in the good times. And I learned that he's God in the bad times. I learned that he's God of the mountain. And I learned that he's the God in the valley. I learned that he would never leave me nor forsake me. I learned that God is my supply. I went to school. I sat down under the professor called Jesus, and I took dictation and I wrote down what he said in his word, and I learned who he is. I learned that he's omnipotent. I learned that he's omnipresent. I learned that he knows all things at all times, and he knows what I need. He knows what I need. He said, I learned the secret sauce of contentment. I learned to trust him. Hallelujah. I learned to trust him and put my faith in him. That's the secret sauce. F-A-I-T-H. Forsaking all, I trust him. Faith. I learned how to trust him through it all, Brother Crouch would say. Yes. He said, I learned. I like how Vicky Winan put it. She said, as long as I got, King Jesus. I don't need, what did it say?
Nobody else.
As long as I got Jesus, I'm satisfied. As long as I got Jesus, I'm content. As long as I got Jesus, it's all right. We're going to make it through. As long as I got King Jesus, I don't need nobody else. Christians who allow their hearts and minds to roam beyond the truth of God's word and the power of God's provision and the beauty of his presence and the boundaries of God, protection, they find themselves distant from the joy and peace that he gives. Isaiah 26:3 says, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Why? Because he trusts in thee. Because he learned the secret of contentment. Yes. We are content with our hope in Christ alone. We are subject to roam another time outside of the field. We can roam in our mind, but we also roam outside of the fold. Roaming moves you from one relationship to another, from one religion to another, from one church to another, from one woman to another, from one and on and on and on. This is because of our rebellious and sinful nature and the desires to be independent from God and not dependent on Christ. We suffer from no accountability syndrome. I don't want nobody telling me what to do. This is my life and I'm in control of it. Well, that's not true. Because who's in control of their breathing? You can't control the heartbeat. You just thank God that you got one. We're not in that much control as we think we are. We really don't have control of our mind. We can lose our mind just like that. Let God call a demon and say, demon, oppress that person's mind. And you'll find out how much you're in control. Yes. We are prone to roam outside the fold because our sinful nature wants to do and go where it should not go. We are prone to roam away from the shepherd. Isaiah 53:6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray and we have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Compliment number two, the believer that walks with the shepherd has access to the Savior. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. There is no need to look for anyone or anything else because God is able at his throne. I like how it says so we can come boldly. That means that we don't have to tiptoe into God. And we don't have to be afraid to enter into his presence. During the times of Christ in the Old Testament, the priests were only allowed to go into the Holy of Holies. But when Jesus died on the cross, the Bible tells us that the veil of the temple was torn from top to bottom. That means that, you know, everyone now who believes in Christ could have access to God through Jesus Christ, through faith in him. We have access to God. That also means you don't need the Pope to pray for you. You don't need Mary to pray for you because we have access with the shepherd. You know why I know we have access with the shepherd? Because we're sheep. And where does sheep sleep? The sheep sleep. That's a tongue twister. Try to say that three times. The sheep sleep in the presence of the shepherd. As a matter of fact, in the fold, the shepherd is also the gatekeeper. He is actually the door of the gate. He is the sheep gate, and no sheep can go out and nobody can come in. Why? Because the sheep have access to the shepherd, and the sheep can go in and out through that access called Jesus Christ. Am I right about it? Aren't you glad that you have access to God? that God is not far from you. All you have to do is just call on his name and say, Lord, wait a minute. I'm going through something. Y'all get out the way. Lord, help me. I'm struggling, Lord. And God, being and that he's omniscient, he can hear everybody at the same time and answer all the prayers at the same time because he's omnipotent and he's omniscient. We have a shepherd that's like that. We have a shepherd that's like that. He says, yes. We have grace to help us. God doesn't condemn us, but he gives us opportunity to get it right in our times of need. The shepherd is with the sheep. As a matter of fact, as I said, the shepherd acts as the sheep gate. Yes. When it comes to our soul, when it comes to our life, Jesus will fight as the good shepherd for the sheep. Jesus will fight for you. He will fight to provide what you need. He will fight to protect you. He will fight to save and deliver you. All you have to do is listen to his voice. Yes. Yes. He already fought through his death on the cross. And now that he is risen, he is forever victorious to defend and to care for you. You ought to just shout about right there because that's the kind of God that you serve. I like how the one songwriter said, I've seen the lightning flashing. I've heard the thunder roll. I've felt sin's breakers dashing, which tried to conquer my soul. I've heard the voice of my Savior. He bid me still fight on. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. He died on Calvary's mountain for me. They pierced his side. For me, he opened that fountain, the crimson cleansing tide. For me, he's wanting in glory. He's waiting in glory upon his heavenly throne. He promised never to leave me. No, never to leave me alone. He promised never to leave us alone. The believer that walks with the shepherd is satisfied with Jesus the Savior. Are you satisfied? Christ wants us to be satisfied with his care in our lives. Sometimes as Christians, it's hard to accept God's direction because we think that God is distant and we think that he doesn't understand what we're going through. We think we know what's best for our own good because we may have some worldly wisdom. We may have some academic knowledge. We may have some past experience. But maybe we think that we've lived long and we got age and everybody doesn't know what you know. Well, God is wiser and smarter than us all, and he lived longer than we ever will. The problem with this kind of thinking is that God does not make choices based on the infinite wisdom of man. His choices are rooted in a loving, wise, omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent shepherd who knows and has the capability to supply our greatest need, both spiritually and physically. Yes. If we would but allow him to do a miracle in our lives, allow him to forgive our sins, if we would allow him to bring the people he wants into our lives, if we were to allow him to choose our wife, our husband, allow him through the leadership of the church to keep us from wandering away, if we would allow him as the shepherd to equip us for the ministry that he has called us to, if we would allow him to lead and guide us, even though we can't see him, we would find contentment. Be satisfied, O Christian, with the shepherd who cares for thee. Be satisfied with the master's plan to give you victory. Be satisfied with the son he created to warm your precious soul. Be satisfied with Calvary, for in believing he'll make you whole. I heard the hymn writer say that he was satisfied with Jesus. The hymn writer said, I'm satisfied with Jesus. He's everything to me. He saved my soul from torment and awful misery. He gave me peace and gladness, yea, more than I deserve. And since my Savior found me, him I gladly serve. I'm satisfied with Jesus. I find he's all I need. He healed me soul and body and makes me whole indeed. He gives me food and raiment, yes, and all I eat and wear. He beareth all my burdens, my sorrows, and my care. When we are satisfied with Jesus, we are able to say, it is well with my soul. It is well. I'm so glad that the Lord is my shepherd and that I shall not want. Are you glad today? We may have what we want, but God is able to give us what we need. Paul said, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. And somebody said, amen. If Jesus is everything you need, you ought to say amen. Amen. If he's everything that you need, you ought to say amen. Amen. Is Jesus all that you need? You ought to say yes, he is.
Yes, he is.
If he's all that you need, you ought to say yeah.
Yeah.
If he saved your soul, you ought to say yeah.
Yeah.
If he healed your body, you ought to say yeah.
Yeah.
If he gave you food and clothes, you ought to say yeah.
Yeah.
If he's the Lord, your shepherd, you ought to say yeah.
Yeah.
You ought to give him praise in the house of God because he's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be praised.